welcome, and it's lovely to be with the Faith Mission again in the area and to be sharing in convention. It's about 7 or 8 years, I think, since I was down this way. I came here nearly 40 years ago, so I was only very, very young at the time, of course, so it's good to be with you and good to have your fellowship. I was thinking there about the offering, because there's one particular pastor who said, would the person who took the offering last week please bring it back? So it will come. It will come. Now, we're reading together from the Word of God in Psalm 142, page 977. Psalm 142. Father, just thank you this morning for fellowship together, for the joy of being together, for all the things you've been saying to us through hymn and praise and children's talk. And we pray that as we read your word, that you would help us to understand it, because we know that as we read it, it reads us. So just draw near and touch our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 142 then. I cry out to the Lord, I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him, and before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, no one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me, because of your goodness to me. We know that God will add his blessing to his precious, precious word. This morning we've been thinking about quicksand, been thinking about rock, and I want us to have a look at this psalm together, because it was written when David was in a cave, when David was in a cave. So we're moving from quicksand to rock to cave. Now, normally caves are very dark and dreary places to be in. However, if you go to Gran Canaria, you will discover that a number of people actually live in caves. And those caves are very nice places to live. Semi-detached caves or bungalow caves in Gran Canaria are very, very special. In fact, a number of years ago, when I was missioning out there, I went with a missionary friend and he took me to a restaurant that was a cave. And my, that was some experience. It was larger than the church building today. And it was a real thrill to be there, because number one, the food was good. And number two, he paid for it. And so it was really lovely to sort of be in that cave. But normally caves are not like that, as I've said. And I want us to think this morning into this particular psalm, because here we discover that David is in a cave. David's in the cave. And the cave, unlike the light in our church today, and like the beautiful weather outside, is extremely dark for David. John Ortberg, one of the American writers and preachers, a very fine man of God, says this: the cave is where you end up with your props and supports and crutches when they all get stripped away. It is also where God does some of his best work in molding and shaping lives. The cave experience. I want us to think for a short while this morning on David's experience in the cave. In fact, if you examine your Bible, you discover that at least there were two or possibly three caves that he was in. In 1 Samuel 22, he was in a place called Adullam. That sounds a very dull place, doesn't it? And of course, in Adullam, they're gathered with David, the disappointed and the depressed and the dejected and the dissatisfied. My, to be among that crowd must have been some experience. Just like a church meeting. Some experience among all that lot in Adullam. And then a little later on in 1 Samuel 24, he was in the cave in En-Gedi. And here he had the opportunity to kill King Saul, but he wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. And so he just let him be. And the door was opened, and the way was made for David to kill the king, but he wouldn't do it. And then according to some particular individuals, the wonderful Psalm 23 was written from a desert experience, probably in a cave. Now, we're not too sure with regard to this particular psalm as to which cave David was in. I've no doubt as a shepherd, he was roaming with the sheep, and we saw one of the sheep there right at the beginning of our service. And I've no doubt that it is in many a cave. In fact, a number of years ago, I happened to be in Caesarea Philippi, and as we were thinking about that time when Jesus was with the disciples, and Jesus said to the disciples, who do people say that I am? And there was all kinds of discussion on that. And we had a lovely time together thinking about that story. And then someone spotted this cave away up there. And so we made a decision to move in that direction and to go into the cave. It's a large cave. It's a dark cave. And it was something special just to be there. And as I was there, I thought to myself, you know, I wonder whether this particular cave at one time housed David. The cave experience. Now, what I want us to think about this morning is very simply this, and we try to imagine as best we can what the scene is all about. As far as the cave is concerned, there are two particular situations that David finds himself in. He is in this particular cave. He's hurt enough to admit that he's got a problem. He's honest enough to cry to God that God might help him. And he's humble enough to learn from that experience. It was, as Lord Burke said, a place where God was going to fashion him and develop him and direct him in the way that he wanted him to be. We don't like cave experiences, do we? We find it difficult to cope with them, but it's all part of God's plan and process to do his special work. And so then, in these particular verses there, in verses 1 right through to verse 4, David really is in middle cave, and it's dark. And God has got a plan in middle cave because he wants to bring David to the mouth of the cave. So he's right here. It's dark. It's difficult. It's dangerous for him. But God wants to bring him from here right out to here to the mouth of the cave. And so verses 1 to 4 deal with David right there in the middle, going through all this. And God says, I know what you're going through. I know the pressure you're under. I know the difficulties that you have, David. But I want to bring you from here to there. So let's discover then David's experience in both situations. In verses 1 to 4, as I've said, we see something of David's plight in middle cave. Follow through the scriptures that we read together. In verses 1 and 2, he is overwhelmed. He's crying to the Lord in his trouble. He's lifting his voice to God for mercy. And he's doing a wonderful thing. He's complaining to God. He's coming to God and he's saying, Lord, this is where I am. This is how I feel. This is the situation that I find myself in, and I'm in trouble. It's a dark experience for him. A friend of mine says that on one occasion he was going through a very dark tunnel, and all of a sudden he saw light at the end of the tunnel. He thought, amen, light is coming. And then he discovered that that light was an oncoming train that was just about to run him over. And that's what life can be like at times, can't it? A life where we're just overwhelmed by all kinds of circumstances, inner emotions, various peoples there, and we feel that there's no way out. So that's part of the problem that David is facing in Middle Cave. He's overwhelmed. And then in verse 3, he's overwrought, because the Bible tells us here that his spirit is faint, and he says, Lord, I just don't know what to do, but you know my way. The word knows an interesting word. I believe that in the original language, the Hebrew there, it means to know intimately, to know personally. Do you remember the Lord Jesus talked about your Heavenly Father seeing the sparrow fall? Now, I used to think at one time that maybe there was a little sparrow on the fence somewhere, and all of a sudden that sparrow got a cardiac arrest and fell to the ground, and God said, that's another one. And then I was reading, very interestingly now, I was reading about the fact that the word know in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke in, very near the West Cork dialect, the language that Jesus spoke in there, the word know doesn't necessarily mean that God sees just the sparrow fall and fall the ground, but God knows intimately and personally something about that sparrow. And then Jesus goes on to say, folks, doesn't he, that you and I are more valuable than the sparrows. The little children that were with us this morning and having their special time, they're more valuable than the sparrows. And your life and your home and your situation and your pressure and your problem that's facing you as an individual perhaps today, God says that you're of great value. And I know and I see the times when you fall. And David is experiencing this in this particular verse, isn't he? He's talking about being overwrought within himself, and he's struggling with it, and he just doesn't know what to do in Middle Cave. But to compound the problem, in verse 4, this whole scene develops, because being overwhelmed and being overwrought, then he discovers at the latter part of verse 3 and verse 4 that other people are overbearing. How powerful are these words? He says, men have hidden a snare for me. I look to my right, I look to my left, and no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. In fact, one of our modern translations says, no one gives me a passing thought. So, overwhelmed by circumstances, overwrought within, and within himself he finds that others are overbearing. I sympathize with another good friend of mine who says, concerning a number of folk, even Christian folk, he says this, the Lord bless them and keep them as far away from me as possible. But I'm sure that never happens in West Cork. I'm sure it never does here. But folk can be overbearing, can't they? There are some folk you're delighted to meet, and there are other folk you say, well, Lord, how can I give them a wide berth here? How can I get away from just having individual encounter with that person that at this particular time I don't particularly feel that I want to meet them? So that's where David is. There's much more that we could say, and I would encourage you to read through those opening four verses there, because they spell out the plight in Middle Cave where David is under pressure. So David, you need to get out, man. And so we begin to discover, as we read the scripture here, that David begins to move from Middle Cave to the mouth of the cave. And he makes four steps. Let's make them together with him, even somewhat hurriedly. In verse 5, he says, Lord, you hide me. Now, it's an interesting change of situation here. Step number one, he says, Lord, you hide me. Because he's been in this cave, whether he's on the run from some enemy, I don't know, but he's certainly sheltering there. And he realizes that if he stays there, he's a dead man. So he begins to turn towards the Lord. And he says, Lord, I see that the situation that I'm in has been directed, organized, ordered by you, that you might help me to understand that it's not the cave that is your refuge, but I am. Lord, hide me. And it's when, as we as individuals, in our particular circumstance, get to the point where we have this dramatic shift in recognizing that what we're going through might not have been specifically directed by God, but permitted by God, and we're saying, Lord, my relationship with you is real enough to believe that you're the one who can protect me and hide me, that you're the one who can be my rock. Step number one. Step number two, in verse 6, he says, Lord, hide me. And then he says, Lord, hear me. You're listening to what I'm saying, Lord. You understand what I'm saying. He uses the expression, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge. And verse 6, listen to my cry, for I'm in desperate need. My, what a cry is that. A cry of desperate need. He really is there right in the depths of his own inner emotion and experience. Folks, this morning, the Lord doesn't only hide us, but the Lord hears us when we pray. Remember, you heard Jonah when he was right there in the middle of the fish. And Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, says that Jonah's prayer was prayed in the lowest depths, but heard in the highest heights. And the Lord hears us when we pray, and we need to be faithful, we need to be specific, we need to believe and have faith that God will answer that prayer. I'm sure you've heard of the interesting city of Liverpool. And I had a friend who was a Baptist pastor there many, many years ago, and he told some rare stories about some of the congregation. Let me give you one in relation to prayer in the prayer meeting. This dear man was having incredible pains in his head. And so he went to the medics, and the medics gave him a hospital appointment for the Thursday morning, and the prayer meeting in the church was on the Wednesday evening. And so he asked the congregation to pray for him and the problem that he had. And this dear lady, God bless her, and she said, Lord, we bring Albert's head to thee. And we ask that when they have a look at it tomorrow, they might find nothing there. And touch him just where he's sitting. My, that must have been uncomfortable. And my good friend said that he couldn't help but laugh in the prayer meeting, but the Lord knew the lady's heart. So beyond the language, and met the need, and the dear man was brought through his time of trouble. Hear me, Lord. I'm really in middle cave here, but I'm definitely to get out, and I know they can hide me, and I know you can hear me. And whatever our personal situation might be today, the Lord is the one who listens to our prayers. His ear is open ever to the cry of his children. He hears us. Step number three. Notice here in verse 6b and 7, he says, Lord, help me. Hide me. Hear me. Help me. I need your help, Lord. And notice how he puts it here in this particular verse. Set me free from my prison. You see, the cave experience for him was an experience where he felt that there was no way out. For quite a number of years, I worked in the north of Ireland in prisons. While teaching in the Bible College, I was able to construct a particular course, and so I spent 13 or 14 years in the Mays Prison. No doubt you've heard of the Mays Prison. And I was working specifically there with the paramilitary organisations. And so you have the one side and the other side in the same meeting where we taught the Bible. We had some interesting times. I remember on one occasion, you know, going to another prison, Crumlin Jail, which now is a tourist attraction. I can hardly believe that. And I was with a male choir,
And I had a little booklet with me, and this little booklet was an interesting little booklet because I said I would give it to anyone who was concerned about it. The booklet was entitled, How Shall We Escape? Can you imagine? I was inundated at the end of the gathering for little booklets. Of course, it wasn't from prison, but it was from sinfulness and from a way of life that Jesus Christ could change. Lord, I need your help. I don't know the case situation you might be in today. It might be so black that you've almost given up any kind of hope. Then, dear folk, if God's eye is on the sparrow, then his eye is on you and I. And he's the one who can help us. Set us free from our prison. Oh my, we could enumerate on the number of prisons that we get locked into. Sin can trap us. Experiences can get a hold of us. Situations can come our way that we feel there's no way over. How are we going to get through this, Lord? I can't do it. Try it. Lord, help me. And then notice the fourth step. Lord, hide me. Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. Lord, hold me. Set me free from my prison. Get a hold of my life, that I may praise your name. So he comes from middle cave to mouth of the cave, and when he gets to the mouth of the cave, that which was dark changes somewhat. His vision, his vista, his view of things is different now because God has brought him through. And so that which was trapping him and imprisoning him, God led him out and delivered him that he might see a new panorama altogether. A new way forward altogether, a new experience altogether. For the Lord has brought him through, and the righteous are gathering about him because they recognize not that he's the one that's done it, but that God has done it because of your goodness to me. Folks, the Lord is so good, is he not? He's so gracious towards us. He's the one who sees us in Middle Cave. He's the one who brings us out of Middle Cave to the mouth of the cave, that we might see that there is future, that there is hope, that there is a way through and a way to that which God wants to lead us to, and God wants to bless us abundantly. I wish I could say this morning that once you get there, you'll never be in Middle Cave again, but that's not always the case. And no matter who we are, whatever our situation might be, it is the easiest thing in the world to get locked in Middle Cave. They get so depressed and distressed about things as they are that there's no way out. And yet in David's life and experience, God turns a cave into a cathedral. For all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, says the Apostle Paul. Now just for a moment now, we think of David's cave. My mind goes back to another cave, hundreds of years on from this. And someone in that cave has been killed. And he's been placed in that cave. And his followers are in great distress about the experience. He's there for 3 days. And then up from the grave, from the cave, he arose. The same God who helped David is the God in the New Testament who bought through his death on the cross our salvation. I remember as a young buck of 16, 17 years of age, which was a long, long time ago in the last century. But I remember when I discovered myself from an atheistic background that Jesus Christ died for me and that could situate himself in me and change me. And he brought me out at that particular time of a cave that was disaster.
Jesus is the answer to Middle Cave, to bring us to Mouth of the Cave, that we might live for him. Let me pray with you and then hand back to our book. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we do gather as a congregation, but we also come together as families and as individuals. You know, Lord, all there is to know about us, and you're concerned about us. We pray especially for those dear ones in our congregation at the moment who are right there in Middle Cave. And we ask, our Father, that you would just give help and bring them through, that they might discover, as we all need to discover continuously, that for the Christian, the best is yet to be. And we ask, our Father, that we all might be sure this morning that we're trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, not in the system or an idea or a philosophy or religion or a denomination, but in a person who died for us and who rose again to live in our lives, to strengthen us every day. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask it in the Saviour's name.